Hello, I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and our classic broadcast from my dad, Pastor Salem. We recently heard from a friend in Texas Online who wrote, "I am so blessed every time I am able to watch Pastor Salem. His method of preaching the gospel of Jesus warms my heart and helps me want to be a better Christian. God bless you all at CWH." And from South Dakota, "I can't tell you how much the program means to me. Pastor Salem starts my week right and keeps me close to the Lord. I enjoy his sermon so much. His down-to-earth, plain, and simple preaching, he tells it like it is, with a little humor too. Thanks to all of you hardworking helpers of the Lord. Now, let's hear from Dad about living according to the teachings of the Bible and developing in spiritual maturity in today's message, How Do We Grow Spiritually? God bless your week."
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just so happy that you're opening the doors for us and letting us in. And it's just wonderful that we can worship the Lord together. And all over the world, the family of God is worshiping the wonderful Holy Spirit, the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, and our Heavenly Father. And we're at Jesus' feet as we have this service today. So we're just so glad you could be with us. And we're looking at Psalm chapter 108 today as the opening scripture, where the psalmist writes, "O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth, that thy beloved may be delivered. Save me with thy right hand and answer me." And so, Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can come together to worship you, for wherever we are in the face of the earth, we can all worship you around the throne of grace, and that you are with every one of us, and you know our names, And you know our needs, and you know our hearts, that we love you. And so we pray in our service today, there'll be many, many more that will open their heart to the Lord Jesus. Many who will come and be born again, become a child of God. May the Holy Spirit speak to many by the word of God, and may there be a great response. And we'll give you all the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Jan is a song she's going to sing, "Wonderful Words of Life," and God bless you, Jan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. And that's exactly what they are, the words of life, the words of God, the Word of God, the Bible. That's where we get life, because the Word of God convicts us of our sin. I preach the Word of God the best I can, and the wonderful Bible, you preach it the best I can. And then the Holy Spirit takes it up and it applies it to hearts. The Holy Spirit will lay it on your heart to accept the Lord Jesus, or maybe to trust Him more, or maybe you've drifted away and He wants you to come back. And so the Word of God will speak to you. And you know, God says that my word will not return unto me void. It'll accomplish the purpose to which it has been sent. And so when the Word of God goes out, it always accomplishes exactly what God wants it to accomplish. And I just am so proud that I'm so happy that I can handle the Word of God, that I can preach the Word of God, that He's entrusted me with that message, because that's where the power is. And when you use the Word of God, you can preach with authority. You can say, "Thus saith the Lord," that's it, and that's all there is to it. So you like it or lump it, that's the way it is. And so it's a joy to preach the wonderful Word of God. Well, we are looking at some of the letters and want to thank you for the letters that we get. And so many of you write to us. We just write, we read every letter we get. And we get about 100 letters a day. Now, not all of them have letters, because some people just send a gift and that's it. And that's fine. But we do read every letter and every note. And when you have a prayer request, we pray for those prayer requests. And so then we share them, and we get letters from people. They say, "Oh, we just love to hear the letters." And some would like to have more letters, longer letters, and shorter sermon. And that scares the bejeebers out of me, because I don't want to cut my sermon down. You want to kill me? And so we just share both, and God will use both to His glory. So here's a letter from Minot, North Dakota. And they write, "Praise God, I'm rejoicing. My son called today, and as we were talking, we found out we both are getting our spiritual nourishment on Sunday from the Christian Worship Hour. He works for the railroad, so he has to work a lot of Sundays. And me, because of physical ailments, I can't attend church. Now, isn't that something to rejoice about? Sundays, we both are being blessed by the Christian Worship Hour." And so here's a mother and her son, and they're different, separated by miles, but they're worshiping together every Sunday. And you know, it's surprising. We get quite a few letters of people that say, well, that one lives in a certain state. I think we had three sisters, and they were in different states, and they all listen to the Christian Worship Hour, and then they talk about the sermon, about the service, and all worshiping together. Isn't that, it's just exciting. And it's exciting to me, because I know that all over the world, there are people that are worshiping with us, because we're by television, we're all over the world, and with the shortwave radio, 90% of the world's population. And so some in North Korea, the hardest place that persecuted church people tell us that the hardest place to serve the Lord, the most dangerous place, is North Korea. And we have a station that comes in good and strong, shortwave, and we encourage those people, because we just, well, they're worshiping with us wherever they might be. And here we are all together at Jesus' feet. And someday we're all going to be together. And won't that be something? Let's see. Here's Winter Garden, Florida. And she says, "Sending my donation to help rescue lost souls around the world. I haven't been able to walk for 23 years. She can't walk for 23 years, but by her prayers and her gifts, she can go all over the world. And that's not going to stop her one bit. And her prayers will speak to people that we'll never see in this world, but we'll see them in glory. And they'll thank this lady. Thank you for praying. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for singing. Thank your people for the technicians and the multitudes of people that support us financially." You know, some people think, well, they must have a lot of money. They probably got an oil well in the backyard or something like that. But I tell you, we're just like Elijah was at the brook Cherith. And the ravens brought food morning and evening. And I thought of Elijah, and I thought, boy, I wonder about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He says, I wonder if those birds are going to show up. What if they, what if they go on strike, or what if they get mad, or what if they can't find us? Morning and night, they were there because God commanded the birds. He commanded Elijah to go there, and he commanded the birds, and God took care of him. So we just rejoice that God provides. He'll always provide for whatever he wants done. Here's Anchorage, Alaska. Thank you for blessing me with your preaching, music, and I love the letters. And we do, just people write in, they love those letters. And they just wonder if we could read a few more. But I says, man, I can't read letters for an hour. I got to get my 2 cents in. So we just kind of split it up and divide it up. And we're all friends and we're all happy, I think. Here's Paramus, New Jersey. You said if you don't love Jesus, it's because you don't know him. That is so true. I'm learning to know Jesus. Every time I know a little more, I love him more. Isn't that pretty? Isn't that lovely? That's exactly it. You know, there are some people, you wish you could get to know them. After you wish you get to know them, well, they're the kind of people I like to loan money to. Then you never see them again. You know, you just get tired of them. But Jesus is just the opposite. The more you know him, the more you love him. And I know, because I'm going to tell you, friends, I've been with the Lord 85 years. I haven't been perfect in my life. I'll admit that. But I've had Jesus. I've failed him, but he's never failed me. And there's a song that goes, I've been out of his will, but I've not been out of his care and his love. He loved me anyway. And there may be somebody today, and you drifted away from the Lord, and you say, I can't come back. He'll never have me. I sinned against light. I knew it was wrong. I did it anyway. He'll never have me. But God tells us where grace abounded, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And of all the religions in the world, there's only one religion that has grace, and that's Christianity. And the grace of God, you can come back. Like the prodigal son, you come back, and the Father's waiting to receive you. But the more you know Jesus, that's exactly right, the more you love him. Well, here's Fort Myers, Florida. This is a very interesting letter, and I really enjoyed it. And this lady writes, and she says, we are so thankful for your service. My husband is 93, a World War II veteran of the Navy, and was on the Yorktown when the Japanese destroyed it, and then on the USS Charles Osborne the rest of the war, fighting in the Pacific, in the Battle of Midway, and so forth. So he is my hero. He is also precious and so good and so kind, and best of all, loves the Lord God with all his heart. But while he is 93 and I'm 83, we have had to give up going to our church, so we depend on you, Dr. Jeremiah, John Heggie, and Charles Stanley for our message from our Lord. We are so grateful. We pray for you and hope you can stay on the air until the Lord comes for us all. We also love your music very much, and thanks so much. And the first thing I did when I read this letter, I just thank God for this man who served in the service. We owe our service people so much, men and women. And so we are thankful for them, and always like to hear from them. And here he is. He's a dedicated man of God, 93 years old, and just blessed my heart. Let's see. Arvada, Colorado. You said this past Sunday you were 95. Well, I'm only 73, and I do mean only. As long as we have a faith and believe what God says, we can be youthfully productive for the Lord. And you know, that's right. There's some things we can't do in old age. Like, I have 3 friends, and they're all bull riders. But they don't ride bulls anymore because they're too old. And I always say, see, and I'm a sheep herder, so I wouldn't have anything to do with a bull. But they had to give up bull riding, but they didn't give up the Lord. and we hear from them, and they support us with their prayers and their gifts, and we just thank God for them. Three. And if there's more, any other cowboys that know the Lord and love the Lord, I'd like to hear from you. I'll send you a little Bible, and it's for the cowboys. So the rest of you don't write in for it. It's just for cowboys. You might want to be a cowboy, but you're not unless you've just been raised with them. And, you know, it's a hard road to follow, but they do it. Well, anyway, this is, ladies, she says that we can serve the Lord no matter how old we are. And you know what we're told in Psalm 92, verse 14? This is what God says. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Now, I'm not fresh and flourishing physically, but the inner man, the spiritual man, grows. See? And the body gets weaker, but the spirit gets stronger. And so it doesn't matter what your age is, one way or another. If just praying or telling others about Jesus will serve you and help you, you can be a servant of the Lord. Here's Rose Hill, Kansas. Thank you so much for the Christian Worship Hour. The gospel is given so clear that souls can be saved and Christians can be blessed. I'm legally blind and I'm alone, so I enjoy the messages. Thankful that I can still go to church. We have a great God. The fields are white under harvest. May the Lord bless each of you. Praying the gospel will go forth till Christ comes to take us home to be with him. And you know what I thought about when I read this letter? There's two things in that letter that really stood out. She says, I'm legally blind. And yet she sees harvest fields white under harvest. She can see, though she's blind physically, in her mind and her heart and her soul, she can see a lost world. And they're ready to come in if somebody would come and tell them. And that's our mission today. And I just thank God for this lady here. Someday she'll see. And she'll see that field. And she'll see those many who came to know Jesus because she prayed, because she gave. One other letter, Bramer, Missouri. I have a question for you. Does it instruct us anywhere in the Bible to end our prayers by saying in Jesus' name? I know some people believe that your prayer is not heard and does not go anywhere or is not answered if you don't end it without saying in Jesus' name. Well, I got to thinking about that. I thought, for 2,000 years, you got Old Testament saints, and they're all praying. They never, ever heard about Jesus. Of course, you can hear. I think when we pray in Jesus' names, it means that we're praying in compliance to his will. That we pray in Jesus' name, and I do pray in Jesus' name. But the thief on the cross didn't pray in Jesus' name, and there are others in the Old Testament, but God heard their prayers and talked to them. So if you want in Jesus' name, that's fine. I think it's good. But I don't see any place where it says where God won't hear you if you don't use that certain phrase. There's nothing magic about it. It's just that wonderful Jesus, and you pray in his name, that's good. Well, we just thank you all for your writing. And here's what you have to do. You need to write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. I'm going to give you the address now. So get your pencil and write it down and write it so you can read it. Sometimes I write down notes and I can't read them. And so I know you wouldn't do that. But write to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And all of you now on the shortwave, be sure you get that down. We need to hear from you. We do hear from a lot of you. We heard from a shortwave, well, I don't know if a shortwave or radio, just yesterday, I think from Russia, heard from somebody from there. But anyway, write to us, and remember this, we have to have your help if we're going to continue this ministry. We have to have your prayers, we have to have your gifts, and we're not underwritten by any organization or denomination or church or corporation. We're just God's people, and we've been almost 40 years, and a lot of those people have gone on to glory. But God always raises up some new people, and we always pay our bills. Now, if we get any extra money, we'll just get another station. We'll get some more time, pay more time, get the gospel out to more people. And I know what you're thinking. He says, well, I don't know if I can trust him. And you're looking at me pretty hard, and you poor people on a short wave, you can't you can't look at anything. You just look at your wife or your husband or whatever you got there. And so you can't see me. But I'm going to tell you what. We are a member of an international organization. And that organization is called the International Council for Financial Accountability. And it is, they check our books. They check every penny we take in. They check whether we receipted it all. And here's something else they do. They check to see that we're paying it all out just the way the budget calls for it. And we're not buying fancy cars and boats and houses and $1,000 suits. And you can tell mine sure isn't $1,000. I think it's JCPenney. I don't know what it is. But it doesn't matter. I just got something on. But you just pray now, dear Lord, should I help this organization? Do you think this is a ministry I should help? And then he says, yes, you ought to help him. Then he says, how much? And you just do whatever he says. Maybe you'll faint, but come back to senses and do it. And then one other thing I want to mention. We have a little Bible study called The New Song. And the New Song, it's a little study every month, and it's free and postpaid. And this month, the month of June, I know just a few days yet, we're still in May, but just a couple days, we're going to be in June. And it's entitled Overcoming Discouragement. Now, did you ever get discouraged? We have a whole list of things to do to overcome discouragement. Because I think, as human beings, we all have those days when we don't know if we're up or we're down. And so you write to us here. We got it on the screen. All of you shortwave people, this is Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And so you ask God what he wants you to do. So Jan's going to play, I'm going to pray, and you give as God leads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the gifts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. Just blesses my soul. When she plays like that, I just want to jump up and start preaching. But I want a scripture here. And now we're going to have Hank sing, too. We got to hear Hank. He's got a beautiful song today. So we got a lot of good things here. Well, we're reading from 2 Peter chapter 3 today. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. And then during our prayer, we always pray for the persecuted church. And so we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Saudi Arabia. And we pick one of these countries. We have an organization that tells us the list of places where it's the worst, and we try to pray for them. And so we'll do Saudi Arabia. So now Peter is writing, and he's writing to Christians, and he wants them to become better Christians. That's just what it is. He wants them to grow in grace, wants to be a better Christian. This is what he writes. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you've told us to study and to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And so help us to be students of your word. And some of us haven't been to seminary and all these things, but we can, even if we have very little education, if we can read two words, we can read the Bible. And as we read the Bible, you will reveal it to us and you show it to us and you'll help us to grow. And we can be strong and we can be somebody that they can depend on in the church and in the Christian movement that'll stand true to you, fearlessly preaching and teaching and carrying on the word of God. And not only through the preaching and the teaching, but as others pray and as others give and support the work, it's all important. We can't do it alone. We have to have all of us together. And so we just pray that you'll help us to be true to the word and grow in grace. And Lord, we want to pray for our brothers and sisters in Saudi Arabia. And we know that some of them are dying for their faith. And I just wonder so many times, would I be willing to do that? Is my faith that strong? Oh, I hope it is, but I don't know. But these people, dear Lord, they stand there and they renounce Jesus Christ. Renounce Jesus Christ and live. And they answer back, Jesus Christ is Lord. Sometimes they answer it in Arabic, but they say the same thing. Jesus Christ is Lord. And they give their life for the Savior. And so help us to be strong in the faith and help us to be determined and help us to sacrifice more and give more and pray more and work harder to advance the kingdom. Others are dying. They're part of our family. And so we just pray that we'll all be better, stronger Christians. And we'll give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank is going to sing, he's singing a song, Fairest Lord Jesus, and God bless you, Hank.
Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, oh, thou of God and man, the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. Fair are the meadows, fairer still the woodlands, robed in the blooming garb of spring. Jesus is fair, Jesus is pure, who makes the woeful heart to see. Glory.
Thank you, Hank. And nobody does it better than that. That wonderful Jesus, and we worship him. And you never get tired of preaching, and you never get tired of listening to Jesus, because the more you know him, the more you'll love him, and the closer you get to him, you know, the more real he is. It's just it's great just to walk with Jesus. And we're told in the scriptures that we should grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And then Peter writes in the first epistle, and he tells of how that we need to grow in grace. We need to become stronger in the Lord and do things for the Lord. And when we read about it, we read this so many times, the scripture will say, well, Jesus is Peter suggesting maybe God wants us just to, we should do this. But it is a command. When we are born again, we start out as a little baby. And Peter talks about that in 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3. He says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And so we enter the family of God as a little baby, and we feed on milk of the word, just as a little baby feeds on milk, not beefsteak. And so God wants every child of his to grow spiritually and come to spiritual maturity. And so the command goes, grow in grace and a knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think what we need to point out, first of all, that this is an obligation. It isn't a choice. It isn't an option. It is a command that God wants us to grow. And now you take in the physical realm and that child will grow. But in the spiritual realm, they can stay a baby for 50 years and they become problems. And you coddle them and you pet them and you get them along. And like one poor pastor, he was talking about some of his immature Christians, and he's just trying to keep them happy. And he says, my people, they just like a bunch of balloons. I don't know which one's going to blow up next. So that isn't very good. And it's all right when you're starting out. We expect to help you along. But after 50 years, for Lord have mercy, you need to be walking with the Lord and serving the Lord. And then to remember this, it is a privilege. It is a great privilege to grow in the Lord and become good soldiers of Jesus Christ and get on the firing line and stand on the line. And I think of the churches, and every church that's prospering, every church that's making a go of it, has those people that are helping, that are standing on the line, both men and women. And many times it's young people. Sometimes these young people accept the Lord and they grow so rapidly, and they become pillars in the church and strength of the church. And so we can be good soldiers or pillars or effective members of the body. And we become part of the cure, not part of the problem. And so there are a lot of mistakes about this spiritual maturity. What is it? What is it? How is it attained? How do we know if we have it? So then let's look at spiritual maturity. What is it anyway? Well, first of all, spiritual growth has nothing to do with God's favor, because God loves us whether we grow or not. Whether we're a sniveling little kid, 50 years old, he's disappointed, but he loves us. But he wants us to grow, that's sure. But in that matter, whether you grow or you're not, that love will never disappear. That'll never be gone. And Paul talks about that love of God, that nothing can separate us from the life or death or principalities or powers. He has a whole list. It's in Romans chapter 8. And if you want to think of find something that'll separate you from the love of God, you just find something in there that he hasn't covered. He's covered it all. But in the same breath, I have to say this. If you're a sinner and you're off in sin, God loves you. He died for you and he wants you to come to him. But if you don't come and you die in the sin, that's the end of the love of God for you. Because God says that after death, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment. And so if you're a Christian, that love will never end. It'll go on forever. But if you're not a Christian, then that love ends and you face an angry God. And may God have mercy on your soul. I tremble for you. And that's why you need to come to Jesus. You just come to Jesus and say, oh, dear Lord, I've sinned against you. Or I've drifted away. Peter drifted away. And when Peter, he swore he didn't know Jesus. He swore and said he didn't know him. And he forsook him and left him on the cross and went away. And I'll bet anything Peter says, I blew it. He'll never have anything to do with me. He's done with me. But at the resurrection, after the resurrection, what did Jesus tell the disciples? Go into Galilee and meet at Galilee and tell the disciples and Peter. He named him, tell Peter. I love Peter. And he can come back because he was genuine. He was my child. And he's drifted away. And you talk to Peter. And when he came back, you know the story and how that Jesus talks to him and recommissioned him. And Peter went on to serve and serve till they cut his head off. No, they crucified him. Paul, they cut his, put him to death, but they crucified him. They say the tradition has it, crucified him head down. He didn't think he could even be crucified the way Jesus was. And so if you're drifted away from the Lord, you can come back. And I hope you will today. Spiritual growth has nothing to do with time. Sometimes a person says, and I've had this, you know, I've been in the ministry 73 years. And sometimes people say, well, boy, after 73 years, I'd think you'd be able to preach a little better than you're doing. I tell them, you should have heard me when I started. I've done pretty well, I'm going to tell you. When I started, I lost most of my congregation after the first sermon. They couldn't stand it. It was terrible. But 73 years. Now, in all that time, I've seen some of these people. And they say, well, I've been a Christian for 50 years. So they're telling me, I'm a Christian. I'm a great Christian. I've been a Christian 50 years. And he hasn't grown an inch. You know, he's still a squawny little old baby. And they're pestering, they're taking care of him, keeping him breathing, keeping him in the church. Now he's saved and he's going to go to heaven. But there'll be no crowns. There'll be nothing to show for his life. And so it doesn't have anything to do with time. It has nothing to do with knowledge. A person might know a lot about the Bible. They might have read the Bible several times. I had an old scallywag one time, and he showed no evidence of Christianity at all. Said he read the Bible through 10 times. Well, the devil knows all about the Bible, but he isn't going to go to heaven. So how much knowledge you have, that doesn't make the difference. And or you could say spiritual growth doesn't have anything to do with activity. Maybe you've been busy in the church. You've been doing a lot of things and up and down and messing around. But you never really accepted Christ and you accepted Christ, but you never grew. And you just were busy, 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 and you ended up with nothing. You remember Mary and Martha? And that's what Martha, she was busy all the time. Mary, she was doing something spiritual, see? And Jesus commended her for that. And so sometimes people say, well, if I'm prosperous, that means that I'm spiritually grown, that I'm really, God's really smiling on me. Well, God might be smiling on you. And so they have a nice car and home and all of that. But I'm, you know, but let me just remind you of this. What do we read about Jesus? The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. Son of man hath not done a place to lay his head. So just because you got a lot of stuff for this world's goods doesn't mean that you grow spiritually. So what is spiritual birth anyway? What is spiritual growth, I mean? Well, it simply means that we live according to the teaching of the Word of God. Spiritual maturity means that makes us, as we study the Bible, we're becoming more like Jesus Christ. We know more about Him. It means we're easier to live with. It means we're more gentle, we're more kind, we're more loving. It means we're less gossipy. It means we have a burden for the lost. It means we have a sensitivity for others and people in need. Makes us more open to the feelings of other people. It makes us more cooperative, more supportive. Spiritual maturity simply means you are getting to be more like Jesus. That's all it is. But then it follows, if to become like that, how are we going to do that? Well, we want to know about Jesus. We want to know about God. And so there's what we call natural revelation. There's two kinds of revelation. There's natural revelation and there's special revelation. Now, natural revelation simply means if you want to know how great God is, just look around. Just see what's all around. Look at the birds. Look at the bees. Look at the flowers. Look at creation. Look at a sunset. Look at a snowstorm. and you see the power and the might and the wonder of God. Isaiah talks about that and about the nature showing God. He says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, meted out a heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. He goes on and he says, who hath directed the spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took ye counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as small dust in the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as very little things. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. What Isaiah is saying, this God is so great. He says, Lebanon, they don't have enough timber to make a big enough altar for God. And they have the cedars of Lebanon that are 3,000 years old. They have more timber. When they wanted to build a temple, they went to the cedars of Lebanon. And Isaiah is saying, Lebanon has all the lumber in the world. And they don't have enough lumber. And he says, beasts thereof, they don't have enough animals to make a sacrifice great enough for our God. That's the God he's talking about. And we see him everywhere. To whom will ye liken God, or what likens ye compared to him? And we see the greatness and the mightiness of God. Everything about us cries to the existence of God and his work. And if you use your eyes, or just to take a look, for instance, at a human being. Look at this being with that heart that's beat with me for now 95 years. Never missed a lick. Well, I did have a heart attack, and I got some stints in here. But maybe I missed a half a lick or something like that. Didn't miss much. I wouldn't be here today. And every breath I take, it's a gift from God. This God, he's so great and wonderful doing all of these things. And so this Paul writes, and he says in Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. You can't say you don't believe in there's a God, whether you have the Bible or not. You can't say you don't know but there's a God, because it's all over you. And Paul says you're without excuse. So we have nature that tells us, but we have special revelation. And special revelation is the Bible, the holy word of God. The Bible tells us what we need to know about God, and it's things that we can't see and know by seeing nature. The Bible tells us about God himself. The Bible tells us about God's mercy. It tells us about God's grace. It tells us about how sin can be forgiven. It tells us about the sacrifice of Christ. You don't see that in nature. It talks about salvation. It talks about the church. The special revelation is specific and accurate. The scriptures are from God. They are clearly to the point. They are perfect, and they never contradict themselves. They are absolutely wonderful. And I just don't have time to do it all. But take, for instance, some of the scientific facts in the Bible. Now, the Bible isn't a book of science. It's a book of theology. It's a book about God. But it does have some scientific facts, and every scientific fact in it is exactly right. Matches it just perfectly. For instance, the earth is round and not flat. They used to think it was flat. We all know that. But way back 2,000, 3,000 years ago, on Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 22, it says that God sitteth upon the circle of the earth. The Bible knew that centuries before miserable man discovered it. Or the earth is suspended in space. And there were centuries that people taught that the world lasted was held up on the back of a huge tortoise, a turtle. Or it was on the shoulders of one of the Greek gods, Atlas, and he held it up on there. That Job told us 3,000 years ago, he hangeth the world on nothing. Job 26, verse 7. How'd the Bible know that? Because it's of God. It's God-breathed. Man didn't know these things until God, and he comes and he shows us these wonderful things. Now, look at the stars. For instance, the stars cannot be numbered. And they didn't always think that. Hundreds of years before Christ, it was taught clearly that there were about 2,000 stars. They call it the dome of space. They figured there were 2,000 stars. And then they got to looking and they checked and they says, oh no, it's more than that. And they said, there's 400 million stars. Well, good for them. And then all of a sudden, God says in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 33, verse 22, the stars cannot be numbered. They're without number. As a matter of fact, the stars in the sand can be compared. And I remember why they used to laugh about this. Because, for instance, in Genesis 22, verse 17, God says to Abraham, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And so God is saying he's comparing the stars of the sky and the sand. And people says there's no comparison. Anybody knows that, they said. But they found out that there are galaxies that haven't even been measured with millions and billions of stars. And they're simply saying they cannot count the stars and they can't count the sand. Now let me tell you something else. If you want to get Google-eyed, here we're told in Psalm 147, verse 4. He determines the number of stars and calls them each by name. Can you get it? Like the sand by the seashore. Every kernel of sand, every piece of sand has a name. Every star has a name and you can't even count them. That's God. And we wouldn't know that unless we had this special revelation. A special revelation is the Bible. And that's why we need to study the Bible and learn the Bible. And that's where we grow spiritually. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, we're told in Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God breathed. And that means that when God spoke, he spoke through men who are inspired by the Spirit of God. And they were his stenographers, his secretaries. And they wrote what he told them. And so that the Bible is the word of Almighty God. And if you want spiritual growth, you need to get to the Bible. And this is what you do. Read the Bible. Read the Bible prayerfully. When you have your devotions, when I have my devotions, I say, Dear Heavenly Father, open my eyes. Well, that's what the psalmist said. Psalm 119 and verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Dear Lord, help me to understand your word and help me to believe your word and never doubt your word. I just believe you, Lord. Open my eyes. And then read the Bible carefully. St. Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. I hear people, it makes me shudder. They say, I need a verse for the day. like one woman I read about. And she says, I open the Bible and I put my finger down and that's my verse. And so she was doing that. She did that for several years. And then one day she didn't feel very good, but she came up and she opened it up and she put her finger on there and she looked down and says, Judas went out and hanged himself. She sure didn't need that. She closed that book so fast, make your head swim. And she opened it up and then she went and she put her finger down and she looked and it's the red letters, it's the words of Jesus. And it says, go thou and do likewise. Oh, my goodness, that's all out of the Bible. What am I going to do? I got to do it. And she slammed it shut. She opened it again. She put it in there. Yeah, it was on the red, on the words of God. It's the words of Jesus. Oh, thank you, thank you. And she read and says, and whatsoever thou doest, do quickly. That's the way they read the Bible. I had one young man, he says he's going to leave the church. He's going to Texas. I says, how come you're going to Texas? He says, in my devotions, I ask God what to do. He says, go south. So he's going south. I never heard from him again, just as well. So here you are. When you come to the Bible, it says, study the Bible. rightly divide the Bible, because some of the Bible is meant just for the Jew, just for Israel. Some is for the church. Some is for the Gentile. Some is for the Christian. Some is for the non-Christian. You just don't pick it up and read it, but you study it. What is God saying? Now, don't think this is so tough you can't do it. Your child, anybody that can read can do it. You don't need to be at a seminary, because that Bible, God will open it up to you. And you just read and you read. And the more you read and the more you study, the more you go. And you say, I don't know how to study. Just read the Bible. Just read it. God will put it together for you. And always just, and then read it quietly. That is, get alone. And I'm so wonderful that I have my office, and I'm there before the help comes. I go to the office at 6 o'clock in the morning. I was raised on the farm. We used to milk cows at 6 in the morning. I thought, well, if we can do it for the cows, I can do it for the Lord. And I go there to work at 6 in the morning. I work till 4, 10 hours. And then I get tired, and so I go home. But this wonderful thing, you can be a quiet time. And I think it's nice. Go to the same place all the time. You're familiar with the sound. And read. And read that Bible. And think of what it says. And read it personally. What is the God telling me? Not what he's telling my spouse or my pastor or somebody else. What is he telling me? And read it daily. Read it daily, because I think this, friends. For me, morning is my best time. And so just find your time. But be intentional about it. And fight for it. And fight for time. And read that Bible. And when you read that Bible, you believe it, every word of it. And that Bible will never contradict itself. And you read something, you think it contradicts itself, you're not reading it good enough. Study it. God never will never contradict himself, ever. And something my old professor told me in seminary, he said, when you read that Bible, don't put a question mark where God puts a period. Don't you question God. You just look at his word. So what did the Bible say? The Bible says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's Isaiah 1, verse 18. God is talking right now. And he's talking to you that have never accepted Jesus. And you're off in the world, and you're off in sin, and you're sick of it. But you don't know which way to turn, and you don't know how to connect with God. I can tell you how to connect with God. You just read from the Bible. God says in John 1:12, he says, as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to those that believed on his name. As many as received him. And you say, I don't know how to receive him. Well, how do you receive anybody? If somebody knocks at your door, you open the door and say, come in. And God is talking to you. You may not see voices and lights. I never did. And I get goose pimples and all the rest of it. But you just, something is saying, I need Jesus. And I want Jesus. And dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll forsake that sin the best I can. I'll follow you as best I can. Thank you, Jesus. You pray that prayer and then you write to us. We'll send you literature. You send it to the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get us on christianworshiphour.com. And we'll be happy to send you literature. Any place in the world, we'll send you the literature. And then you pray for us, and we'll pray for you. And you need to help us to say, you need to support us. As I told you a few minutes ago, we have to have your help. We can only go from, well, I don't know, maybe a month. I don't know if we could even go that long. We're right on the line. And so you write to us. You got the address there. Now we're going to pray. We're going to pray for Saudi Arabia. We're going to pray for the Christians. And we're going to pray for the lost. Dear Heavenly Father, we're praying first of all for our friends in Saudi Arabia to bless them And then we're praying for all of those that prayed for you right now and accepted you. All over the world, they've accepted you. Help them to write and help them to turn to their Bible. Help them to read the Gospel of John. Start with the Gospel of John and to read that. And we pray for the shut-ins. We pray for the sick and we pray for the lonely. Dear Jesus, help them to know you said you'd never leave them or forsake them. And we pray for the young people. And oh God, they have such hard times. They have temptations now we never dreamed about when I was young. And so help them to know that you love them. And even if they failed terribly, you love them and you want them to come back. And you want them to give their life to you and they can serve you and make something count. So bless them and bless your people and give all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to thank you now for being with us. Thank you for opening the door. Thank you for praying. Thanks for the gift you've sent. And we're going to be looking for you now next week when we all gather together again. All over the world gather at the throne of grace. And we're going to be praying. And in the meantime, you pray for us and pray for these people that are struggling. There are so many. Just ask God to bless and to help them. And always know this, that God loves you. And know this also, that Christian Worship Hour loves you. We're doing that because we love your soul and we want you to find Christ and grow in Christ. That's our prayer in Jesus' name.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.